And let me pray. Our Father, thank you so much that you speak. Please speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is like walking, not learning science. Have a look at verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. As I said, following Jesus is like walking, not learning science. Perhaps that's a slightly funny thing to start with, so let me explain. When you learn science at school, and then if you carry on at university, every now and again someone says to you, you were taught that, yes, but that was just to help you understand when you were 10 or 15 or 18 or whatever it is. That's okay for starters, but really it is not like that. It's actually like this. And then they'll tell you to sort of forget about electrons being like planets whizzing around the sun, and to think of it more like a cloud of probabilities or something like that. I imagine that if I had carried on past undergraduate level, someone would have said to me, oh no, just leave all that stuff you learn at university behind. That's just how we start people off. That's option one, learning science. Option two is learning to walk. Here's how it goes. You put one foot in front of the other, and then you put the other one in front, and you just go on like that, so on and so forth. And that's it. No one comes along and says to you, oh no, that's just how we teach toddlers. Now I'm going to really teach you to walk. That's not how it works. We can learn to walk faster, or we can build up our strength more sort of steadily, something like that. But the way that we start to walk is the way that we carry on. One foot and then the other, and so on forever. Paul says no to option one. Christianity, following Jesus, is not like learning science, but a big yes to option two, learning to walk. That's the issue that Paul is addressing in Colossians, and that's what we're thinking about today. If you've ever thought there must be more to the Christian life than this, there must be a way to kind of crack the code so that we can level up to the next sort of level of our Christian walk, a better Christian life, then we need to listen up to what Paul is saying to us today. You see, the Colossians were a young Christian family who had probably come to Christ through a man named Epaphras, who'd heard the gospel from Paul, probably in Ephesus. Things had started really well. Their relationship with Jesus was going well, and they were growing in him. Paul gives thanks to God for that back in chapter 1. But now some people had come along and they were saying the Christian life is not like walking. It's like learning science. You did start in the right place, but now we're going to crack the code for you. We're going to give you the secret. Let us tell you the stuff that you need to go on to the next level. And so, at the heart of this letter, Paul says, no, there is no secret to walking better. There is no code to crack. Verses 6 and 7, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, putting down deeper roots and getting higher and stronger, like a mighty oak whose leaves are thankfulness. Do that in the faith that you have been taught, that is, in Jesus. The Christian life is like learning to walk. And in many ways, it feels like the appeal in verses 6 and 7 should be enough. We've just come off the back of some extraordinary writing about Jesus, which we've looked at over the past couple of weeks with David. In chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, we saw that Jesus is the supreme Son who is over all creation. There is no greater Lord. Why would we go anywhere else, Paul is saying? And then we saw in the next passage that there are no greater riches being sort of held back for a later time. The mystery has been made known to us, and it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. Paul is saying, Colossians, you don't need to go anywhere else. Brothers and sisters, today, we don't need to go anywhere else. And having made that kind of positive case over the last, that we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, of why the Christian life is the same as we start, as we walk, Paul, he sort of goes on to spell out the sort of negative side of the argument with three warnings. The first is there in verse 8, and it's the headline warning from which all the others flow. There are people about who want to capture the Colossians with hollow and deceptive philosophy that's focused on human traditions and elemental spiritual forces of this world and not on the Lord Jesus. By the way, that phrase, the elemental spiritual forces of this world, that means something like the spiritual powers which many claim are intermediaries, go-betweens between God and humans. They're supposed to make the relationship between God and humans work better. Paul's answer to what he essentially thinks is rubbish that's being spouted by the false teachers is in verses 9 and 10. And it forms our big point for the rest of the chapter. It explains why there is no secret code. Here it is. Fullness is in Christ alone. Let me read verses 9 and 10 again. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. In many ways, this is a simple point. Part of Paul's mighty flow of worship to Jesus back in chapter 1, included in verse 19, that all of God's fullness dwells in Jesus. So Paul has established that already. And then Paul says that the point of his ministry is to show Christ in us. That's 1 verse 27. And that he really wants us to be fully mature. That's 1:28. And here he kind of sticks those two ideas together and he brings out the logic. It's a bit like a chef who prepares the bowls beforehand and then brings them together at the right time to make a wonderful meal. So he says, the fullness of God is in Christ. And then he says, we have Christ. We are in Christ. And then he sticks them together. And here is the richest of meals. We have fullness in Christ and in Christ alone. There is nothing else. There is no better meal. There is no greater fullness, no deeper mystery, no code to crack. The Christian life is walking, not learning science. Fullness is in Christ alone. That's the big point. Don't go anywhere else. If you want to know God, stick with Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. If you want to continue with God, stick with Jesus. If you want to grow with God, stick with Jesus. Fullness is in Christ alone. But to make the point sort of more strongly, Paul tells the Colossians three places where fullness is definitely not found. And they go along with our three warnings. So the first is in verses 10 to 15. Fullness is in Christ alone, and it's not in powers and authorities. Now, these powers and authorities, they're similar to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. And whilst they're called powers and authorities, Paul says that they don't have power or authority at all. Jesus, verse 10, is the head over all of them, which is no surprise given what we saw back in chapter 1. And if the Colossians are unsure of that, all they have to do is look at all that Christ has done in them in verses 11 to 15. Verse 12, just incidentally, talks about baptism, and that is helpful because we're going to have a service of baptism coming up at the end of May. So if any of you sort of have seen that and thought, oh, I haven't been baptized, but I am following Jesus, do come and have a word with me afterwards if that's what you'd like to do. As symbolized in baptism, Jesus has put our old self to death and he has given us new life. That's what Paul is saying in verses 11 to 15. And he does that by his death on the cross, which forgave our sin. Paul pictures our sin as a written charge sheet, which sort of lists out all our debts towards God. And God takes that sheet, and as Jesus is nailed to the cross, he nails that sheet to the cross too. And then when Jesus rises again, it proves that that list, that charge sheet, has gone. It proves that the cross, verse 15, is a victory, not a defeat. Jesus, and not the powers and the authorities, Jesus is the real victor. And he has the real power and the real authority. Now, in the secular West, perhaps this isn't a big deal. We struggle to actually believe that there are powers and authorities at all, rather than that they have no power. But many of us may be from cultures where it's a real issue, where all sorts of things, are both good and bad, are sort of put down to spirits and powers that rule our everyday lives. Sometimes these are thought of as sort of in complete isolation from Jesus, and sometimes they're sort of thought of working alongside him or under him, but basically independently of him. And they're thought of that they might bring greater fullness, or they might, in fact, destroy it. But Jesus, verse 10, is head over every power and authority, and fullness is found in him alone. We don't need to worry about these other powers and authorities. We don't need to appease them. They cannot control our lives, and they cannot make them better or worse. They cannot bring greater fullness. There's much more that we could say on that, but we will leave it there for now. Fullness is found in Christ alone, not in powers and authorities. Next, Paul turns to religious rules. Have a look at verses 16 and 17. The point he's saying is that fullness is in Christ alone, not in religious rules. Let me read verses 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The things that Paul lists in verse 16 are things that God gave his people in the Old Testament to help them to follow him better, to remember that they depend on him and not on themselves, and to help them remember their status as God's holy people. In their proper place, these things are good things, but they are just shadows, things without substance, things that you can sort of see through. For example, you can tell some things about the shadow of a head, can't you? Like perhaps how much sort of hair a person has or not hair. But you can't tell everything, can you, just by looking at a shadow. The things in verse 16, they tell us something about God. But the reality is found in Christ. Remember, he is the image of the invisible God, verse 15 of chapter 1. And in our passage, 2 verse 9, the fullness of God dwells in Christ. And so when the reality comes, well, the shadow isn't needed in the same way. You wouldn't sort of refuse to look someone in the face and just look at their shadow instead if you wanted to know who they were. That just doesn't make sense. It seems that the Colossians were being told to keep looking at the shadows and, in fact, keep doing the things that were casting the shadows. If they refused, then they were judged. People said that they weren't proper Christians. So we need to ask ourselves, are there places in our lives where we're holding on to the shadows rather than the reality that is in Christ? I think in this context, we're talking about imposing rules that appear good and sensible because they're based on something from the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, but that they take away something from the reality, the fullness that is in Christ. Now, an example might be giving something up for Lent. Now, that could be done in a really good way to help you focus on the fullness that we actually have in Christ. So nothing else, including the thing that you've given up, gives us greater fullness. So you might give it up, and then you realize that you're not really missing it because you have fullness in Christ. You have Jesus. That would be a good way of doing it. But if you're doing it just because you think that's what Christians do, or because you don't want to have that awkward conversation when someone asks you, what have you given up for Lent? That's not a helpful way of doing it. Fullness is found in Christ alone and not in religious rules. Okay, here's the third and the final thing. Fullness is in Christ alone, not in human rules. So look at verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So here we have some people who are delighting in being nothing. Paul doesn't actually write the word false humility, just humility. I think the point is that they are treating their bodies harshly. It's a kind of asceticism. That's the humility bit. And they are using that to help them get caught up in the worship of angels. And they therefore have lots to say about what they've seen. And that puffs them up with unhelpful ideas. And then being puffed up, they look down on those who are not doing that. And they try to disqualify them. Put simply, they're imposing sort of human rules on others to give themselves what they think is a fuller spiritual experience. And Paul says, no, it does not bring fullness. It brings emptiness. They're just puffed up with hot air. They're not filled up with Christ. They're not connected with the source of fullness, verse 19, the head. And so, of course, they're going to be empty. The rules, verse 20, are of this world. And verses 22 to 23, they just don't work, even if they look good. Harsh treatment of the body doesn't get us any closer to Jesus. No, verse 9, our main point, we have fullness in Christ already. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no place for rules and commands in the Christian life. You only have to read the rest of Colossians. I hope you might do that this week to see that that isn't the case. Paul goes on to give plenty of commands that range across all of our lives and our relationships. But he does so using our new identities as those who have fullness of Christ already. He uses that as the motivation, the grounds for making those commands. He is telling us to live out our fullness, not to try and fill ourselves up ourselves. So where does this sort of bite for us? Where might we be looking to use human rules to give ourselves greater fullness? I suppose the most direct sort of application of what's going on in Colossians is if we're treating our bodies in a harsh way, in hope that it will heighten our spiritual experience. Now, I'm not talking about a right sort of abstinent avoidance of things that the Lord has said are actually bad for us. And I'm not talking about a careful, prayerful, sensible approach to fasting as an aid to prayer. I am talking about denying our bodies the things that we need because we think that that will please God. If you think you've fallen into that sort of unhelpful pattern, then please do talk to a Christian friend, a trusted friend, or one of the ministry team. We'd love to help you. There is a sort of another level of application that comes from the sort of intersection of those religious rules and the human rules that we've been talking about. Both have as their goal a sort of richer, fuller fullness than just fullness in Christ. We've seen already that that is just not possible. But people still claim that they have cracked the code, that they have the magic shortcut that will supercharge your relationship with Jesus. They say your relationship with Jesus is like learning science, not walking. So here's how it goes. If you've ever had a life hack or a surefire way to contentment promoted to you on Instagram or YouTube or whatever your social media platform of choice is, then we're in that kind of territory. So it's relying on your watch to help you to breathe, as Pelle reminded us at the beginning of our service. It's things like how 3 minutes of deep breathing before breakfast can calm your day, or how 12 minutes in a darkened room 1 hour before bedtime will bring the perfect night's sleep. Now, I have just made those up, so don't bother trying them at home. I don't think they work. But you get the point. We're in that sort of territory. So when we replace a calm day or a perfect night's sleep with something about our relationship with Jesus, that's what we're talking about. So if someone tells you that reading your Bible in a certain way, with a particular Bible reading app at a particular time, well, that will supercharge your relationship with Jesus. That's when we need to watch out. It may be good advice to think about how we read the Bible. It might even be a good app. But we mustn't be relying on external things, religious rules, human rules, to give us greater fullness. Fullness is in Christ alone, not in an app. You can substitute that for your favorite Christian author or your favorite Christian podcast or whatever it is. You've got the same point. Fullness is in Christ alone and nowhere else. Or if someone says to you, you must do a prayer journal using an A5 bullet journal with one thing about God's greatness, one thing about your sin, one thing about your hopes, and one thing about the world that we live in, each in a different color. Now, if you do that for a month, that will revolutionize your prayer life. Now, again, there might be some sense in thinking through how we pray. There are things that can help us. But the one thing that will really enhance our prayer lives, how we pray, is looking more about to the incomparable Jesus that we spent the last 3 weeks in Colossians looking at. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We need to remember that fullness is found in Christ alone. No method, no app, no human rules. Fullness is in Christ alone. The Christian life is like learning to walk, not learning science. There is no code to crack. There is no shortcut. But the wonderful thing is that there doesn't have to be. We have all the fullness we need in Christ already. Because in Christ, the fullness of God dwells. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to go anywhere else for fullness. They just won't fill us up. Paul says, don't be taken captive. Don't be judged. Don't be disqualified. Instead, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Shall we pray that we might do that? Our gracious God and Father, we praise you so much that we have fullness in Christ. We praise you that we can be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught. And we pray that this week we might do that and we might be overflowing with thankfulness. Please keep our eyes on Jesus as we do that. In his name we pray. Amen.